Well, hello, New Life Church. Hey, so good to see you again, joining us together online. And I just want to give a shout out to those that are at home, those that are away. It always blesses my heart to know that you're tuning in. And so do me a favor right now, if you are tuning in, not on our website, but maybe you're tuning in on Facebook right now, would drop a hello in the chat. We want to hear from you. And since you can't necessarily invite people to church, go ahead and click share and share today's service to your friends list. We would just love and love, love for you and your friends and family to join in with us. And so drop that hello in the chat. We're so glad to have you joining us in this way. Well, we are today starting part two of our series here in January called Reset. And we are just looking at starting off 2021 with a full reset, a reset of the soul, a reset of the spirit. And so part of the reset is that we have kind of like are taking a focus period of 21 days to reset our lives. And so over the course of these 21 days, we as a church are giving greater focus to prayer, giving greater focus to exercising some spiritual disciplines in our life. Some have chosen over the next 21 days, which today is day seven, over the course of these 21 days, some have elected to fast, and some are fasting in a variety of different ways. Some also are choosing to unplug from media, unplug from whatever their distractions there may be in life, to really reset ourselves and look forward in the year. So let's look at what we talked about last week in week one of our series, Reset. Week one, we talked about unplugging because the idea is kind of like your electronic devices at home. Over the course of time, the RAM on your computer just gets bogged down with all kinds of temporary, unnecessary files, and it affects the efficiency and the speed of your device. So sometimes you just have to reset that thing, and when that happens, you purge all of those unnecessary files, and your device, your computer, is operating at a much higher capacity again. So that's the idea of the reset, is to unplug so that we can get rid of just all of the accumulative stuff that piles up in our hearts and in our lives over time and reset for the year. And so the first thing we said is we want to unplug from distractions. And so some have even chosen right now that they are unplugging from all social media for 21 days to give greater attention and focus to the Lord. And when you do so, when you do something like fast, when you do something like have intentional time focusing on your faith, it helps you be unmoved by temptations. And we saw Jesus when he fasted for 40 days in the wilderness, and when the devil himself came and tempted him, he was unmoved by the devil's temptations. And then also, when you choose to unplug, withdraw yourself, and get alone with the Father, it helps to begin to unravel the wreckage in life. All the hurt, all the residual resentments and unforgiveness, God can begin to unravel those things in you, and you can experience a reset. So in our 21-day reset, here's what we're saying. We're saying for 21 days, have a 21-day reading plan to read the Scripture. We're going to talk about Scripture more today. And also, we on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., we are having prayer gatherings every Wednesday night during these 21 days at 6 p.m. here in the Worship Center at New Life Church. Also, I want to challenge you to have a fasting plan. Fasting is going without to give greater attention to your faith. Also taking time to have daily time in prayer. And we're going to take a deeper dive in prayer today to help you. And then unplug from distractive habits and activities. So that's the 21-day reset. I want you, even today's day seven, but if you've not joined in with our 21-day reset, listen, you can start today. You can start this week and jump in to get a reset in you for this coming year. So today we're going to talk about, in our series Reset, now that we have unplugged, we've unplugged that device, now we're going to plug back in. And the first way that we can plug back in is to plug in with Scripture. We can plug in with Scripture. We can open up God's Word, and we can begin to devour it, and it will fuel your life. It will be the source of the energy for the reset that you need. Like a computer, when you unplug it and all that temporary junk gets just flushed out, you have to plug it back into the power source. And so today we're going to talk about Scripture and then prayer, and that it is the power source to fuel your life. And so God speaks through His written Word. And so many times when people say, I don't think God speaks to me, then I would want to challenge you to pick up God's Word and to begin to read it, to study it. So jump into the reading plan that we have for these next 21 days, for the rest of your life, all right? But God's Word is inspired, which means that God has breathed life into the words of Scripture. So these are more than just letters. It's more than just history. It's more than just poetry. It is God-breathed power for your life, that you can read the Scripture and know that it is 100% God speaking, that you can take it to the bank. It is truth, and people need to have some truth in a world that is just full of lies. So when the world's full of lies and tensions build, you've got to plug in with Scripture and get some of that truth. But let's talk about some reasons why people don't read the Bible. Reasons why we don't read the Bible? Well, sometimes we see the Bible as old, because there are portions of the Scripture that are thousands of years old. Ancient stories are written in the Bible. And so sometimes when we see the Bible as old, I think what we think is that the Bible isn't relevant for today because of the advancements we have today, or life's just not what it used to be back then. So when we see it as old, we see it as irrelevant. But when you dive into Scripture and the Holy Spirit leads you into that truth, you will see that the Bible is still relevant today. It's relevant, and it will transform your life. That's why at New Life Church, we are committed to preaching the Word of God on Sundays. We're committed to using the Word of God in our life groups. We're more than just a club. We stand on the Word of God because we believe it has the truth and it has the life that we need. And so it is the founding thing that gives us direction for our lives and for our church. It's so, so important. So some see it as old because they think it's irrelevant, but it is so relevant for today. And so reasons why we don't read the Bible, we see the Bible as difficult. Have you ever read parts of the Bible that just leave you scratching your head? Well, of course, some parts of the Bible does seem to be difficult. And we see the Bible as work. And like any type of thing that's work, it takes some determination, accountability to really, really apply it to your life. And so what I want to say, so when it comes to this idea that the Bible's old or it's difficult or it's hard work, I want to remind you of something that we actually talked about a year ago, and that is that I see that there are three different kinds of readers of the Bible. The first Bible reader is what we call the medicine reader. Now, the medicine reader, they Scripture to them, it's like medicine, because although it tastes really bitter, they know it makes them better. That's the medicine reader. And then there is the shredded wheat reader. This is the person that Scripture is a lot like shredded wheat. It's nutritious, but man, is it dry, right? But then there's a third type of reader, and it is the strawberries and cream reader. The strawberries and cream reader, Scripture is something that they just can't get enough of. They can't get enough of it. But how did they ever acquire that taste? for something that for some seems bitter, or for something that others seem to read as really dry, how do they acquire the taste that Scripture would become something like strawberries and cream? Well, they just kept devouring it. And after you devour it long enough, you actually will begin to crave the Word of God in your life, and you will see the benefits of it. So I want to encourage us to reset and discover that the Bible is better than food. That the Bible is better than food. And the Bible will nourish your soul. It will feed your spirit. And so what if our outside physical bodies resembled our inner spirit? I think some of us would look really brittle and really ill if our physical body took on the appearance of our spiritual body. And so the Bible is the nutrients. It is better than food for the soul. Matthew 4:4, it says, "Men shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So food may feed your body, but the Word of God will feed your spirit. So the Bible is better than food. So in our reset, we want to reset. I want you to reset in these 21 days and discover that the Bible is not just better than food, but it's also a better way of life. That the Bible actually gives us direction for life. The Bible is there to illustrate and give stories to help us see the best way to live. Look what Psalm 119 says. It says, David here, he says, "Oh, how I love your law." When he says law, he's talking about the Scripture. "I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts." So not only is the Bible better than food, but the Bible also shows us a better way of life. Now, the Bible can improve your life in a few ways. I want to show you a few ways that the Bible can help improve your life. First, it can help improve your life by helping you with decision making. When you have a standard of truth to leverage decisions on, the Bible can help with decision making. The Bible also helps you with morality, or of knowing right and wrong. Because the Bible is truth, because it is a standard that we can look at and measure ourselves against, it can give us the moral compass that we need to navigate this life. And also, the Bible can improve your life by helping you discover your purpose. When you read the Scripture, the Holy Spirit will lead you into truth, and you will begin to discover, and God will speak to you, and you will begin to find the purpose of your life. So as you can see, this is really important. So during this 21 days, I want you to reset and discover that the Bible is not just better than food, but the Bible, it is also a better way of life, but also it is a better way to navigate. It's a better way to navigate. I am so glad that we can turn to the Word of God and find direction for our lives. We can find direction and how to find healing, how to forgive, how to have relationship, how to be married, how to treat our spouse, how to raise children. There's all kinds of things that help navigate our lives in Scripture. And in today's world, people are constantly, we can search for a way to get things done. We're looking for the next blog that has top 10 ways to get done what you need to get done. But Scripture, man, it is a better way to navigate. The writer in Psalm 119 again, he says this, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." In other words, Scripture helps you see where you are right now, and it helps you see where God wants you to be. It helps you get to where God is getting you to go. It's a lamp for your feet, it's the here and now, and it's a light for your path. It gives you hope and vision for the future. So here are some of my quick tips on reading the Bible. So as you jump into your 21-day reading plan, or maybe you're doing our 21 reading plan where we're reading 21 chapters of John in 21 days, here are some quick tips. Quick tip number one, read until you bump into something. So sometimes you want to try to read and understand everything, but sometimes just try this. Just try to read until you hit something in Scripture that just kind of, it might jump out at you a little bit, or it catches your attention, and then stop and pause right there and really reflect on that. Make some observations. Figure out, what does this mean for my life? Which leads to my second quick tip on reading Scripture, and that is always ask questions. When you read Scripture, always ask questions. You can ask questions like this. What does this tell me about God? How is it revealing the heart of God? Also, what does this mean for me right now? What in this Scripture that maybe that you're reading in your plan, what does that mean for you today? What application does it imply for you in your life? What challenges is it making? So ask questions, ask questions, ask questions when you read Scripture. And asking questions will send you on a journey to discovery. Also, maybe try to write it out. And last year we had an online class where we did just this. We went through a couple books of the Bible where we journaled together online when we were all shut down. We journaled out Scripture, making observations, applications, writing prayers on Scriptures that we read. So that is a great way to that's a great quick tip. And another great quick tip is to talk about it with others. When you get to process the Scripture and what you've read with others, it just brings sometimes a depth to it. And that's why it's so important at New Life Church that we want you to get into a life group, which our spring life groups are launching very soon. So I want you to get into a life group so that you can do this very thing. You can talk about spiritual matters with others, and it will help deepen your relationship with God. So we've unplugged. Last week we talked about unplugging, and we're talking about plugging back in. So the first thing was to plug back in with Scripture. The second is this, is to plug in with prayer. To plug in with prayer. Now, during our 21 reset, we are dedicating these 21 days to prayer for this spiritual reset. And so I want to talk about some reasons why we don't pray. We talk about reasons why we don't read the Bible. Let's talk about reasons why we don't pray. Reason number one, we often don't pray because we don't know what to say. Or we don't pray because we don't know how to say it. Because maybe you grew up thinking that prayer was something that a priest did, or prayer was something that seemed so formal and so proper that you're like, I don't know if I can, like, if I'm that kind of praying person. Like, I don't talk that way. I don't know how to get it started. I don't know how to end it. I just don't know what to say, and I certainly don't know how to say it because you thought, I'm not a priest. I'm not a pastor. I'm just a normal person, so I don't think I can pray. And also, reasons why we don't pray is we just don't know. We don't know what to expect. And so I think David in Psalm gives us a great example of prayer. And it's not a prayer that you would likely anticipate that we would talk about. Because maybe when you think about prayer, or maybe you just grew up with these kinds of prayers, you think of it as more like a greeting card, where a greeting card has a pre-printed message on it. And sometimes it's a little hokey. Sometimes it's a little cheesy. But it's just very generic. And whenever you receive a card from somebody and it's just a generic card that they just signed their name on the bottom of it, you appreciate the gesture, I'm sure, and you're glad they thought of you. But there's just something that feels a bit generic about it. Are you guilty of this? Are you guilty of getting a generic greeting card from somebody and it's got a pretty good sized paragraph in it, or maybe it's only a couple lines, but you don't read it? You just read who it's from. You read only what they personally wrote. Are you guilty of that? I know I've been guilty of that, that I'm just looking to see what they wrote. I'm not looking to see what was pre-printed. That's because we understand that greeting cards are generic. Anybody can buy them and send them. But a real great card that I like to send is when I send cards to people, I add a handwritten note where I want to personally express to them that I appreciate them, that I love them, that I'm proud of them. I want to make it personal because I think it should be real, not generic. Well, prayer is the same way. We can pray generic prayers, and maybe you grew up, you know, praying generic prayers at the dinner table or generic prayers at bedtime. And so you hear us talk about 21 days of reset, 21 days focus on prayer. And you hear us talk about plugging back in with prayer and the power of prayer. And when you think prayer, you think generic prayers, like what maybe you grew up with. But I'm talking about something totally different. So when it comes to this idea of praying, and why we don't and how we should, I want to look at how David prays in a couple places in Scripture that kind of just destroys the idea of the generic prayer. Watch how David prays. He says, my God, what have you forsaken? Have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far, does this sound like David and God are on, like, I don't know, good terms? David here, he is being extremely expressive, asking God why he has forsaken him. Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of my anguish. My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer me. And by night, but I find no rest. David sounds actually kind of mad, kind of frustrated with God, saying, I'm praying, but you're not listening. He's frustrated. This would not be on a greeting card. This is David in a very just authentic state of mind. Let's look at another one. Psalm 28:1. To you, Lord, I call. You are my rock. And do not turn a deaf ear to me. For if you remain silent, I will be like those who go down to the pit. Again, David's prayer does not sound very greeting card-like. It sounds raw. It's because it's real. And when it comes to prayer, don't think that you have to have greeting card type prayers, generic, that you've said the right thing in the right way and used the right words. Simply this, real prayer is right prayer. As long as when you pray to God, you can be real with Him, that's the kind of prayer God wants. He wants you to be real with Him. So as you pray, be real about your hurts. Be real with Him about your doubts. Be real with Him about your concerns. Be real with Him about your struggles. Be real with God about your weakness. Be real with God in your prayers, because real prayer is right prayer. And if you're still struggling with, I want to pray and I want to be real, I want to teach you an exercise of prayer that I want you to do with me right now. Yeah, right now, whether you're in your living room or maybe you're on your lunch break, wherever you are, I want you to practice this with me. It's called palms down, palms up. And this is a type of prayer exercise that you can do when you pray. And it will help you pray real prayers and begin to plug in with prayer in this time of reset. So palms down is a symbolic indication. When you turn your palms down, it's as though your desire is to turn over concerns you may have to God. So palms down, I am turning over my concerns, I'm turning over my anxieties, and I'm giving it to God, because you cannot hold on to it with palms down. And so palms down prayer sounds like this: Lord, I give you my anger towards that person. Palms down prayer sounds like, Lord, I surrender my anxiety. I surrender my worry about how I'm going to pay my bills. I give that up. I turn it over to you. And then palms up in prayer. This is the part of prayer that symbolizes your desire to receive from the Lord. So it would sound like this: after you pray palms down prayers of what you're turning over to God, now you would say, and so God, I receive your divine love for that person. God, I receive your peace concerning the appointment that I have tomorrow. And so you take that exercise, you start with what you're going to turn over to God, and then you end with, God, and so I receive your truth for me. And by doing so, you can discover in this reset, I want you to discover that just how personal prayer can be. And moreover, how close prayer brings you to God. And in this reset, that you could discover how powerful prayer can be. Because prayer and study is the hard work of gradual spiritual growth. And when you do it, when you apply study of Scripture and prayer, one day you're just different. One day you see where you are and you recognize just how far God has taken you. I want to pray with you right now. And wherever you're at, just take this moment and pray with me. And would you just turn palms down? Father, we just right now, we turn over all of our anxieties. We turn it over to you. God, we turn over every frustration that is related to our job or our family. We turn it over. We're not going to carry it anymore. We give it to you. Now turn palms up. And God, I receive your forgiveness. I receive your patience. God, I receive your joy. I receive your comfort in place of my anxieties. I receive your divine love for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hope that you would continue to join us on our 21-day journey. I wanted to show you again, have a 21-day reading plan. Wednesday nights, we will gather at New Life Church in our worship center at 6 p.m. Have a fasting plan. Pray daily and unplug from distractions and habits in your life. And you can have a reset in 21 days. God bless.
Hey, New Life Church, thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your first time joining us and you'd like to learn a little bit more about New Life Church, you can text the word CONNECT to the number 765-347-9127. If you're a regular New Lifer and you'd like to continue your worship through giving, there are three different ways you can give. You can give on our website, newlifeforkokomo.org. You can mail your giving to the church. The address is 1803 East Vale Avenue, Kokomo, Indiana, 46901. Or you can text New Life for Kokomo to the number 77977. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next time.